He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, my name is Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and author of my newest book, God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. I'm so glad that you could join with us on today's program. As we go through this series, His Promised Grace, I know that you will discover that God's grace has allowed you to live the abundant life here on this earth as you walk in Jesus Christ. As you listen to the series, you will understand that the abundant life is more than finances, it's more than cars, it's more than houses, it's much more than any of that. It is eternal salvation in Jesus Christ that allows us to walk in His abundance with joy in our heart, knowing that God is in control of these troubled times. Now let's listen to the message, His Promised Grace.
What is your need today? I'm sure, as I speak this morning, every one of you has some sort of a need. Some very small in comparison to others, some maybe very large. But whatever that is, whatever that need is that you have, it's probably big to you right now. If you were to talk to someone, one person that is facing maybe a life and death decision, maybe your little need would pale in comparison. But yet our Father in heaven knows that whatever need that you have is important to you. Sometimes we belittle those, you know, the kids when our children come to us. I know that there are times when our children come to us. Even our grown-up children, because we have been down the road before, we have seen what comes out on the other end, we know that all will work out, but to them, it's insurmountable. Our children, when they come to us, maybe they've lost a toy, or they've lost their best friend, or they've had their first girlfriend and or a boyfriend, and it's gone, and you kind of chuckle to yourself and say, or maybe you kind of even laugh out loud. Be careful of doing that. Don't belittle someone else's need that has never walked this walk before. Make sure that you understand that everyone's needs are important to God the Father. That includes yours, no matter what the walk is that you are walking, no matter what the struggle is that you are struggling with. And I submit to you today that if you have no struggles, then you're not growing. You should be having a struggle every single day. If you are not having a struggle, you are not growing. When I was young, I was in a group. I played the trombone. Now, I was playing the trombone, and I had laid off for 3 or 4 years. Anybody that plays a musical instrument knows that if you lay off any time at all, you lose what you call in musical circles, you lose your chops. And I basically had lost my chops. I was okay. I was pretty good, but I would occasionally crack. I was not able to go as fast. I was playing with a couple of guys, one of them who was on the professional circuit and still is today. One of them I've gotten out of touch with. But the guy on the saxophone used to play for Johnny Carson. He was an incredible saxophone player. And so I would be playing with these guys, and of course I couldn't keep up because I was not that great. I was okay, but I was not that great. Well, fortunately for me, because I wanted to minister through whatever way I could, these guys gave me a lot of grace. And they told me, one night this man told me, the guy that was playing for Johnny Carson, he used to play. By the time he was playing with us, he had retired from that. He was not playing with them anymore. But he repented to me. And he said, you know what? I realize that every single thing you do with that instrument is a struggle for you, and that you are growing and you are learning and you are trying to work. And he said, it is no struggle for me. And so he started trying to work even harder to make whatever he was doing better to become the struggle. That's the way our Christian walk is. The way our Christian walk is that I don't care if you've been a Christian for 50 years, 60 years, or 1 year. Your struggles should not end until the day that you walk into heaven. God wants us to continue to grow in maturity. He wants us to continue to grow in wisdom. It really should be natural for us. It ought to be easy for us to understand. Because we know that the older we get, the more wisdom and knowledge we have. And it's a natural progression. It should be. If you're still playing with trucks by yourself. Now I realize, you know, you might have grandkids and I'm still playing with trucks. My grandkids come over and I still play with those guys. But if you're doing it after they leave, perhaps, you know, maybe you need to look at your maturity factor. Now, if you're playing with those big trucks, guys, that's okay. The price of the toys have just gone up, and that's okay. You ladies have your own little toys that you play with. You know, have you ever noticed, guys, our toys cost a lot of money. But the women's toys, they don't cost quite so much, but they have so many of them. They far outgo ours, it seems like. No, it's okay. I'm stepping on a treadmill. See, I can talk like that because my wife is out of town today. She's up there with my daughter. I'm pretty safe. Except I know probably you ladies will probably tell her. So, okay. I can always count on that, keeping me straight, keeping me humble. God wants us to grow in maturity. He knows as you experience life, as you experience the abundant walk, that you will have struggles. That you are not going to walk up here all the time. And if you're walking up here all the time, there is something wrong. If you do not experience struggles in your life, there is something wrong with you right now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to have to tell you that. But it's the truth. It comes right out of the Word. He wants us to grow in maturity. He wants us to grow to a new level. He wants us to grow to new heights. He wants to be a part of your life every single day. And if you are walking with God every single day, trust me, you are going to grow. Matthew 5:48 says, "Be perfect, therefore, as my Father in heaven is perfect." And if we are perfect today, then we have reached all the way up there to God. But all of us know, as Christians, we are not going to be perfect today. We are be perfect, he says. We are to reach for perfection. He says that he has come that we might have life, and we might have it abundantly. And that abundant life will not actually be in total abundance until we see him. When we see him, we will be like him. We will not have that abundance until that maturity level has come all the way to the top. And that is not until we see him. When we see him, then we will be like him. He's not interested in being a Sunday-only God. If you are living a Sunday-only Christian life, then it is time to repent. It is time possibly to even examine your life, and it is time to possibly discover that maybe you do not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I was listening to a preacher on the way to the church. Generally, I have it on that channel, and I never hardly hear a whole sermon. I only get just little snippets. Most of you know that I only live two or three blocks away. Well, you can't get a whole lot in two or three blocks. But he was talking about his life in the past and the fact that he had lived the church life, that he had lived the religious life. And he talked about the fact that everybody thought that he was this big churchgoer, only the ones that were in church with him, though. Because he said as soon as he got out of church, he was changing clothes, getting ready to go to the club. And that club life would go all the way from Sunday to Saturday. He was in the choir, sang in the choir, sang solos. He said he kept his choir robe in the car so for the nights that he would be out all night and not have time to get home to be able to change, he'd have his robe still in the car. And one day, he was convicted and understood that, you know what? Though I've been going to church, though I've been religious all of my life, I don't know Christ. I don't have a personal relationship with my Lord and my Savior. And he understood that and he came to know Christ. And now he's a preacher on the radio and doing very well. He has understood that, you know what? It is our relationship that we need to continue to work on. It is our relationship that we need to grow. It is our those needs that you have in your life, those struggles that you have in your life. Take heart. Jesus said, I have overcome the world, so take heart. He knows about your struggles, and in fact, they are natural to you. If you have children that are going through things and they have no struggles, you might begin to wonder about them. I know I would. Because we know as they grow in maturity, they're going to have what we call growing pains. We should be having growing pains. That is called the struggles of life. We are talking about, in this series, His grace. The grace. His promised grace. The grace that we know is out there because of our faith in Jesus Christ, because He has told us that it has happened. Because we know that when Jesus was hanging on the cross just before He died, He said, it is finished. Not it's going to be continued. It is finished. His promised grace, if you will turn with me to Ephesians, the first chapter, the 15th verse. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love of all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Now, we are discussing His promised grace, but in these passages that we are going to talk about today, the Trinity becomes alive. This is a twofold message, and it's done at the same time. The Trinity begin to come alive to you, understanding the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is a very difficult topic to explain. It's one that has to come by revelation. It's one that has to come to you by knowledge. And it says that if you will pray to God, He will give you wisdom and revelation. I keep asking God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit, the Trinity. He may give you the Spirit, and that Spirit, if you'll notice, is capitalized. He is not talking about the Spirit that resides in you as an unbeliever. He is talking about the Spirit of the Most High God. He will give you the Spirit of knowledge and of revelation. He will give you wisdom. He will allow you to understand Him better. He will allow you to understand what's going on in your life better. He will allow you to understand that the struggle that you may be going through right now is a natural struggle. It's one that has to happen before you meet Christ. Where does the wisdom and the revelation come from? Well, it comes from the Trinity. It comes first from the Spirit. Hebrews 10:29, how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? And the reason that I've even pulled this passage out for you to be able to understand that the Son of God and the Spirit of grace are the same exact thing. The Son of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I pray that as you leave this service that you might be able to understand the power of God, but you might also be able to understand better the Trinity of God. Even though it's out there, it's hard to grab onto that. But we serve one God, and we say that all the time. But wait a minute. The people who do not understand Christian lives and do not understand Christians, they'll say, wait a minute, I don't understand. You're talking about God, and then you're talking about Jesus, and then you're talking about the Holy Spirit. It sounds like you worship three gods. But all three are the same God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at that today. We're going to begin to understand that a little better today. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Acts 16:17, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to go into Bethania, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. The Holy Spirit, he is talking about the Holy Spirit, and then he calls him the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus, Jesus Christ, is the same thing. Romans speaks of all three in Romans 8:9. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. If you read that all the way through, you will see you are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying here, the big capital S Spirit. The Spirit of God that lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, all three. We're talking about the Trinity in this passage. We're talking about grace here. We're talking about this series of grace. And part of that grace, I believe, is understanding that we serve one God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, all the same. Everything is the same. When Jesus stood there and was baptized, the Spirit of God came in as a dove. The Spirit of God that actually came to dwell on Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ was indwelled by the Spirit, what Spirit was he indwelled with? The Spirit of God. It shows an excellent picture. Knowledge, the wisdom, and the revelation is given by God. Colossians 1:9, for this reason, since the day we have heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asked God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. God is going to fill us with His knowledge, with His wisdom, and all we have to do is to begin to ask Him for that knowledge and that wisdom. Be open to the knowledge and to the wisdom. He wants you to grow in Jesus Christ. He wants you to grow in the maturity of Christ. He understands that the needs that you have brought with you to the table, He has under control. He wants you to have the knowledge that He will take care of it for you. He wants you to have that faith. With that wisdom is going to come faith. Because you have the knowledge and the wisdom of God, you know that He has always stood faithful on His Word. And so with that knowledge and with that wisdom comes the faith. To know that your need is not too small for Him and it is not too large. He's going to take care of your need. He wants to love you. He wants to minister to you. His grace allows us to know God better. To dwell in His power and to live the abundant life in Christ Jesus. And number two, we have the power of the Spirit to live the abundant life. If you are not living the abundant life today, if you have not lived the abundant life and you don't know what I'm talking about, it's because you do not understand the power of the Most High God that has everything in your life under control. That has your entire being under control. Because He loves you, His grace is sufficient for you, His grace covers you from now to eternity, His grace has covered you before you were born. Once you begin to get a handle on that, every single problem that you come up against with, every single struggle that you come up with in your life, you begin to understand, my God's got this under control. The reason that people commit suicide is because they cannot see that it's going to get any better. And the truth be known, whatever problem or struggle you're walking through right now, you possibly cannot see that it is going to get any better. Whether it be an illness, whether it be a financial struggle, whether it be a family struggle, whatever it is that you are going through, because we are finite beings, have a problem seeing what God has in store for us. And once we understand that we don't have to see it, we trust in the grace of God that has covered us, we know that He has already told us that He cares more about us than the lilies of the field and the sparrows of the air, but yet He takes care of each and every one of them every single day. When we begin to understand the majesty and the magnificence of that, how much more does He care for you in the struggle that you're in today? Ephesians 1, 18 through 21, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may have knowledge and revelation, that it may come to you and you may understand. It's that same word that we are looking at on Sunday nights, photizo in the Greek, that we might have knowledge, that we might have understanding, that we will be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. God loves you today. He cares about you today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today He cares about you still. Are you going to heaven if you do not know Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? No, you're not. I'm sorry to say there are not many roads to the top of the mountain. If there are many roads to the top of the mountain, then our Jesus is a liar and we are all doomed. But He says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me. And you know that if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that He is going to give you the strength. If you have not accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, it is easily done as you open your heart and understand that I need a Savior. I need someone to guide me through this life. I have struggles that I don't understand. I want to put my faith in someone who does. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Your need is taken care of by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, because of this wisdom and revelation that comes to us of knowing that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for us on the cross, that we might have eternal life. Because of that, and we accept that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 21 through 23, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be the head over the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything, who fulfills everything in every way. Our God cares about you. He cares about the need that is in your life. If it's a small need, He cares. If it's a big need, He cares. If He knows that you are just coming out of a struggle and you're going into the peaks, He cares for you, I believe, even more. If you are in the peak right now, it is time that you begin to pray because the valley is sure to come. It has to come if you are going to grow in Jesus Christ. If you're experiencing only peaks now, you have plateaued, you are not growing in maturity. How are your study habits? How's your prayer life? How's your devotion time with God? Possibly some are saying, well, I don't really have any of the three. How can you grow if you do not commune with the Father. And as you commune with the Father, the reason that the struggles happen is because as you study His Word harder and you dig in and you try to learn more about what He's trying to teach you, you realize how far from that perfection you are. You realize how much of that grace must be covered on your life. You realize how much you have let God down. But take heart. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. We are overcomers. If you're in Christ Jesus, you are an overcomer. You have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Because of His... Why? Because He said so. And we have faith in Him who is above all things. Then Jesus came to them and said, in Matthew 28:18-20, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, since all the authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore I'm going to give it to you. He says, therefore go into all the world, making disciples and teaching them to obey what I have commanded them. And surely I will be with you till the very end of the age. He has promised that His grace is sufficient to cover all of your needs. If you're not struggling today, it's because you're not growing. Don't get comfortable where you're living. Don't get comfortable where you're at. We are in changing times. This change that I heard about so much before the election, I'm seeing the change and I don't like it. I'm seeing that change that was talked about and I don't like it. Because much of that change means that we are going to change towards the world thinking. That's what that change that I'm seeing going on now is, that we are changing towards the worldly thinking. What God wants us to do is He wants us to change towards the godly thinking. Not condemning all of the things that are going on in the world, but praying for them and reaching out and making disciples and changing them one by one until finally the entire nation falls for Christ. You have a job to do. How good are you doing your job? Am I doing my job to the peak? No, I'm not. I miss it every day. But when I hit my knees, I understand, God, I know your grace is sufficient. Even though I messed it up this last week, let's get back on the horse and let's try riding again. Let's do it some more. Help me this week to talk to the ones that you tell me to talk with, and don't make an excuse and say, well, you know, they probably don't want to hear this, or they're busy, or they're on their way some. Don't make, when the Holy Spirit tells you talk to someone, you talk. When He tells you to give something, you give. When He tells you to do something, you do. And as you do, you will grow. Will it be a struggle to be obedient to Christ? Yes, it will. Possibly, He may call you to give your last dollar to someone and you might have to skip lunch. Is that going to be a struggle to give that last dollar? For some of us, it would. He may call you to talk to someone who maybe doesn't smell quite as good as you wanted them to. But He's called you to do that. I think many of you know what I'm talking about. When God calls us, He wants us to do it. He wants us to understand that there are struggles in this world. But He says, take heart. I have overcome the world. My grace is sufficient for everything that comes up to you. You having a problem today? His grace will cover that problem. Isaiah 26:10 says, though grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in the land of uprightness, they will go on doing evil and regard not the majesty of the Lord. So understand that even though you see evil in the world, That does not mean that we should give up. But God demonstrates His own love for this, that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. There are many wicked in the earth. There are many wicked in the world. Perhaps you're one of them. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are unrighteous. It's as simple as that. Does that mean that when you accept Christ into your heart that all of a sudden you're going to be goody two-shoes and everything's going to be wonderful? Absolutely not. It means that you will still be a sinner, but you will be covered in the blood of Jesus Christ that makes you stand in righteous standing before God. It makes you to where you will be standing before the God of this entire universe. Righteous because of the blood of Jesus that has covered you. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, but He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, but my power is made perfect in weakness." Hallelujah. His power is perfect in me, I can tell you. Because His power is perfect in weakness. And I have many weaknesses. And I could say the same for many of you. And in fact, truth be known, I could probably say the same for all of you. We all have weakness in our life. But God's grace is sufficient to cover those weaknesses. He has given us the opportunity to accept those weaknesses, to accept the fact that we are sinners, to accept the fact that we cannot do it on our own. We have to have Christ to help us to do it. He says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." In Galatians 5:4, "You are trying to be justified by the law, have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." If you're trying to do it on your own, you're walking out from underneath the grace. Did you see that? Do I need to repeat that? "You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." Don't try to do it on your own. You come out from underneath that covering of Jesus Christ, and that's why your struggles are bigger than they should be. Your struggles should be small. Because why? "But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit of righteousness for what we hope." If your needs, if your struggles are insurmountable today, by faith, eagerly await through the Spirit of righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. If your struggle is so big that you don't see any way out, it's because you have walked out from under that Spirit of grace. You're trying to handle it on your own. You're leaving the grace over there. You're trying to handle it on your own. You're walking further and further and further away from Christ. No. He hasn't moved. He's still going to be center stage. Wherever it is that you've walked, you can bet all you've got to do is turn around and go back towards center stage. You're under that covering. And at that point in your life, you will know that you know that you know that you know that everything is taken care of. Because His grace is sufficient for you. Are you trying to meet your own need today? We need to walk back over underneath that covering. We go in and we get under the covering, that blood of Christ. We accept the grace, His promised grace. He's already given it to you. You just have to walk in it. You just have to stand behind Christ and understand that, you know what? My struggle is nothing, because God has it under control. And then he says, the peace that passes understanding will guide your hearts and minds. Peace of God. Experience what God has for you today. Experience that He loves you today. Experience that your life can be changed today. Don't wait for tomorrow. We all know tomorrow may be too late. It may not be here.
Thank you for joining with us on our broadcast of His Gospel Power. I'm excited that you join with us and listen to us daily about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a listener-supported program, and I'm asking that you might prayerfully consider joining with us to spread the gospel around the world. You can do that in many ways. You can either go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. My latest one is God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. All the proceeds of those books go to this program of His Gospel Power. Also, you could go to hisgospelpower.org, hisgospelpower.org, and there is a donate section on that website. That is our website here for His Gospel Power. And just go and click on the donate button. If you would prefer to mail your gift, you can just send it to P.O. Box 1569. That's P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And all contributions that we receive are greatly appreciated. You would truly be a blessing to this ministry. I'm excited once again that you have joined with us. And until next time, I pray that you experience His gospel power today.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just come and pray. Make you